That I think frustrates me the most is that when I hear that people are kind of bound up in these issues, and I'm like, oh, there really is a process for getting you help on that stuff if you're committed to it. Thanks for joining us. Today we are talking about some of the issues that people in the community or outside of the church or even inside of the church might be dealing with, and whether the church really has any answers to those questions.
Well, here we are, another episode of On Ramp, episode number I don't know. It is so good to be with both of you today on this fine day. I'm excited about our topic today. And first of all, but, you know, a little check-in.
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
You good so far?
So far, I'm good.
We're going to go a little deeper than, just the
I'm such
fine.
A lame answer.
Jen, how are you doing?
I'm feeling attacked right
I
now.
I hate that question.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
So you're doing great.
I just feel like it's just a dumb question that people ask.
Yeah.
Nothing personal, Joel.
Nothing personal.
That's a dumb question.
Nothing personal, but yeah.
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
That's great. Yeah, sensitivity is at an all-time high. And but we're going to be looking at a few issues that we think are plaguing society. And some of those issues are loneliness, anxiety, and possibly a few others. We'll see how much time we get into. But loneliness, let's talk about that for a minute, because we talk about being a loving community as a church. We gather each week as a church. We gather in small groups, discipleship groups, all kinds of groups, yet people are still lonely. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are surrounded by people, yet still feeling lonely? In an age of like more connection than ever, more social media, more ways of connecting, and yet people are feeling lonely. You guys are the experts. So I'm
coming
to you.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Jen first.
I would say it's a thing. Just praying for people recently, and overhearing conversations, praying for someone regarding loneliness, and then the other person was like, "But you're married," and I said, that doesn't matter. People can be lonely in a crowded room. All that to say, I know it to be true. I don't know the answer or the solution. I think there's a certain amount of identification that is where I'm at, the position that I'm in. And then the courage to connect is often needed. Like I need to eventually be authentic, vulnerable, open. And so in that way, maybe the church needs to be a place that models it so that people understand, okay, loneliness, it comes at a cost to address the situation, because I do have to reach out if I'm in a lonely place, which maybe earlier in my post-graduation, everybody left the small town I lived in. So I felt like a lot of my friends left, and I would identify that as a lonely season, but it ultimately didn't get better just by being around people. There came a point of recognition. I am lonely. I need to reach out. I need to extend myself, which isn't what a lot of people like to hear. I'm responsible for my own healing in that reggae, in that way. Maybe.
So yeah, there is some, so if you're feeling lonely, there is some onus that we take on, I need to kind of step out or call a friend or go to a group. Or I find that, you know, group in and of itself can be intimidating for some people. Mm-hmm. You know, I like going to like group settings, but I know even at times in my life where it's been hard to be the new person that walks into a group, just that first step to break in, to show up. So I think, you know, a lot can be said for just reaching out. It sounds like it can be risky though for some. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sound like you're responsible to fix your loneliness. It's your fault. I just think that in this age of social media and isolation and, you know, even although we're well out of COVID, but coming out of those years, I think one of the ways that the church meets this need is by modeling it by our, you know, our groups and points of connection being more than just, you know, fun and games or Bible study, that there is a real posture of seeing and knowing people. But I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. So I like, there's been times in my life where I have been quite lonely as well. But I will say from my own, in my own circumstances, it's been a me issue. And I don't mean like it's a me issue that I don't go out and see other people. I mean, it's like I'm struggling with something on the inside. Mm. And one of the coping mechanisms that I have for dealing with my deeper problems is that I start to retreat from other people, or I start to isolate from other people. And I do that out of a sense of trying to deal with other stuff that's going on the inside of me. But the result is that I become lonely because I've retreated. I don't even purposely retreat, but I like subconsciously retreat. It becomes my way of managing something that's going on the inside of me. I don't think that applies to everybody. I think there's certainly situations where like you move to a new town and you don't know anybody, or you go to school and you don't know anybody at the school. Like those are times when you don't have connections around you. And I would say it's almost normal to feel kind of lonely in those situations. I would be more concerned that you're a person, like you said, in a marriage, in a family, in a group of friends, and you still feel lonely. You still feel like there's a disconnect between you and other people. And I would say that that goes deeper than I just need to go out and meet people. Like, well, I just need to get out of my house. I just need to.
So in that case, it's almost like you engage the lonely and give it a voice. So what is your, you know, what is your purpose in my life, or why are you here?
Exactly. I think it's a kind of a why. Why am I feeling this way, right? Why am I withdrawing from other people? Why do I choose to be on my own on a Friday night instead of doing something else? Like, why? You start to ask yourself the why questions and understand that it's okay, because maybe it's a natural response to something that's even deeper going on the inside of you. Mm-hmm.
So the loneliness, I think this is good. The loneliness is really connected as well to, maybe this is a good point. What are the questions we ask ourselves when we're in that state of loneliness? Is it, will anybody understand me? Mm-hmm. Is it like, this is too much? Like, what are the questions you've found in your own life when you felt that loneliness? I don't know if you've felt that or I'd like to hear personally, because with me, I felt that, I think I shared this too with the church, you know, a couple of years ago, I intentionally retreated. And the reason I intentionally retreated was there was a particular issue with our church that was public. There was things being said among a whole bunch of people. There was a feeling like nobody would understand the way I was feeling. A feeling of, if I talk to someone about this, you know, it's just going to kind of get around. And so I took all of it, turned inward, and just isolated. Yeah.
Good choice or bad choice?
No, it was a...
like necessary choice at that time? Or when you look back on it, you say, maybe that wasn't the best way to respond to that.
I think there was some parts of it that were necessary in terms because of the way the situation was. But I would say what began maybe as like a healthy necessary turned into like a complete isolation of like,
that you're lonely.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so then you sit there and you go, well, who's some, like for me, it was like, who's one person I can talk to about this, right? Which for me was Sonia or you on occasion or other people on occasion. Right. But even that speaking to the one person, it's like, there's a real insecurity in like, what if I share this part of being lonely and I'm sure people relate to this. I'm rejected.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm, you know, whatever,
dismissed.
Laughed at,
yeah,
dismissed.
Ridiculed. Yeah, exactly.
You feel like you're the only one feeling this way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that ultimately those are lies, right? That the enemy tells us is that when we get into a bad place, then he starts giving us even more lies. And we're like, oh, my, now I can't get out of the bad place because I believe the lies. And it kind of gets me stuck in there. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, the question is, do we as the church have answers to people who are going through loneliness, mm-hmm. right? Or are people who are lonely coming to church, still lonely, and then leave church and they're still lonely. And it's like, we haven't really addressed the issue with them. Like, ultimately, we want a place where people, there's answers to the problems that people are encountering. So if loneliness is a problem that people are encountering in their lives, are they finding answers at church? Are we helping them that way? Or are they not?
I think the first step of that is happening in that I do feel the church provides a place of connection. But I think it puts a lot of onus on the people to be proactive with them getting involved. What I don't see the church doing enough of is, like, I see someone that's new. I see someone that's not maybe connected after a service or before a service with other people. And we're not going up to those people, being hospitable and welcoming them in. I think we have the events, we schedule them, we say come to it. But really all the onus is on the people. What I don't see us, at least myself, doing enough is, do I see the one each week? Mm-hmm. Do I approach? Do I open up my arms and my heart and make them feel welcome?
And yeah.
And I think that's where, like, the modeling, I think one of the things that I really appreciate about what Greg said was, I think the identification of what the loneliness is in our life, that it isn't just because of not being in community. It could be the new community. It could be the isolation and then realizing it could be because I am dealing with something. But modeling how to connect and how to see new people, how to be hospitable, how to connect more deeply than, you know, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hard, it's risky, it's vulnerable, it's time. It takes time. And yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the answers that we do provide to people is that if what you're going through is like a symptom of something's deeper that's going through, we have a God who is a truth teller and a mm-hmm. truth revealer. And I think that if we are brave enough as Christians to go to God and say, would you show me what's going on in my life? Like, I think that this might be deeper than I just don't have anybody to go out with on Friday night. Like, I think this loneliness comes from a different place.
You've mentioned Friday night a couple times.
I never have plans for Friday night. Okay? It's a little bit of my hurt that I'm dealing with. But I'm just like, I think that we have a God who can start to speak truth into our lives. And he'll either do it directly or he can do it through other people if we get in community with others. But I think there are answers, right? Like, I don't think it's one of those things that we just have to say, oh, loneliness, I'm just a person that has a real trouble connecting with other people. I guess that's just the way I am, and it's the way I'm always going to be. I think as Christians, we have an ability to say, God, what's going on in the inside of me? And would you heal what's going on in the inside of me so that I can get past this issue that I'm having right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to bring up wellness, but that's what
you
we're
said
talking
it first.
But you know, something that we do called inner healing, and we just had a session today where we were doing that exact thing. It was someone, and we all do this. We believe lies, so it's about exposing what are those lies, and then what we're attempting to do with the Lord's help, of course, because He's the one leading this, is what is the lie, and then what does God say to replace that lie? And so we're finding that really truth, and this applies to loneliness as well. Loneliness might say, I won't be accepted for who I am. Loneliness might say, you know, you're weird, or you're not going to be. Whatever is the reason, you won't belong, you won't fit, don't do it, nobody likes you, whatever. That could be the lie, and now it's like, what are the truth? And God does that. God speaks that truth into those places. And yeah, it's good. It's really good. You want to share personally about loneliness, or we can go on to the next hot topic.
What else you got for us?
What else? Okay. I think related to, because this loneliness can make us also feel anxious at times, I'd like to talk about anxiety. Now, there's different levels of anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's, clinical anxiety, people that are going to a counselor for anxiety. There's teenager social anxiety, which is a huge epidemic right now, just teenagers not feeling like they can connect coming out of COVID. There's generally things that make us anxious. There's realistic things that make us anxious. But just generally, I want to talk about anxiety. We're not, clinical counselors. Jen's the most counselor among us all. so she is. But, just generally, anxiety is something that comes up constantly again mm-hmm. and again and again. And again, is the church a place that people are finding answers to the issue of anxiety? And what do you think those answers could be? So is the church providing it? And maybe what do you think some of those answers could be?
I would say similar to Greg's response about loneliness, anxiety usually serves a purpose. And we have, I've just observed in the classrooms, in youth groups, in exchanges, young adults groups, just the amount and the escalation of anxiety, almost as an identity. And just that it cripples and keeps people from doing things, from going places, from connecting, from, accomplishing assignments, from doing hard things. And I think there are times where we need to normalize anxiety. It's a new place, a new space. It's a big test. It's whatever it would be. But what it seems to have taken place is that the anxiety has, it just trumps everything. Well, I experience anxiety, so I can't. It keeps me. My anxiety keeps me from my anxiety. And I bristle at the ownership of that identity statement of saying my anxiety. It's labeling more of me than my abilities, my calling, my community, my connection. And I think anxiety is another thing that requires me to do a bit of internal work of what is your purpose? What are you here for? What are you trying to communicate? Because there's anxiety. So what is the fear? Mm. What are you serving? Because you're serving something. You're serving a purpose in my life, or just trying to. And just being curious to say, well, am I afraid? Am I, similar to the loneliness piece, what is being communicated in this anxiety experience? Those are some of my thoughts on the matter.
Do you think that anxiety is always negative? Like, would you no. equate? That's interesting that you say that, because I got that kind of from what you're saying. Is that you think it's not always a bad thing?
I think when we use terms like good or bad, right or wrong, it's a very black and white. I think anxiety is a spectrum. I get anxious going to the dentist. Why? Because I've had bad experiences with the dentist. I get anxious every time I take the stage to preach. Why? Because I'm just nervous in front of people. Like, why?
Oh yeah. I don't mean to delve. I don't know. I think that I might have a different opinion on that. Like, I'm not sure that anxiety is always could. I'm not sure that anxiety could ever be described as a positive thing.
Okay, but are we saying positive, negative, or are we saying there's a normal amount?
Yeah.
Well, is there a normal amount?
And there's a. Just to clarify, there's a normal amount. So I've never gone skydiving before. I go up in a plane. I don't know if that's anxiety or fear or whatever. Like, is there a normal, which some might maybe we call good, and is there abnormal, some might call bad? I don't know. I think
if you go through life with absolutely no anxiety, you're a sociopath. Or you're not trying new things or connecting in new ways.
Was Jesus anxious? Like, would we have to kind of guess on this, right? Because we don't know his entire life. But would you say Jesus was the kind of person that would get anxious about things as a normal course of life?
Okay, so well, what do
There's
you...
There's one example of him being anxious, at least one that I can think of.
Is there?
In the Garden of Gethsemane.
Was that anxiety, though?
It would be some... this is what I don't
is
know
anxiety?
What is... I don't know if nervousness is anxiety... Fear is like, I don't know if those would be defined as the same.
I mean,
but he had some element of being
certainly
unhappy with the situation,
But I don't think he was worried.
But is worry anxiety? I don't think worry, like, I think how we define anxiety is a big piece of this puzzle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we use the phrase and don't necessarily understand what it means for the person or for in general, because it's used so much. My anxiety, my anxiety, my anxiety. So I get curious.
I'm feeling anxious just hearing it in this. Yeah.
When you talk about it, like how many people know the clinical definition of anxiety being physiological response to external factors?
I do. I would say though, like on Greg's point, like I would say that every time I feel any form of fear, nervousness, anxiety, like my approach, I think would be, this is negative. Like mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever go, like I may see them as various levels of normal to abnormal to like unhealthy to like, you know, I got to really break this pattern. I don't like there's levels of it, but to me, I always, when I think of it, I never go, I would never like, I guess, pet it and make it my friend. You know?
And I wouldn't go that far, but if we make it a bad thing or a problem thing, then anytime I feel it, I don't want to like lean towards it to deal with it. I'm like, I shouldn't feel anxious, or I don't want to, instead of being like, I wonder what it's serving in this purpose. If it's serving, if it's simply that I'm nervous, I'm experiencing anxiety because I'm teaching a new class or I'm going to a new place, meeting new people. Like last weekend, went to Cranbrook, met a great group of people, but they were all strangers, mostly strangers. And so in that sense, there was a lot of anxiety the days leading up. I'm like, I'm staying with a person that I don't know. And when I stopped and checked in on a walk, it was, I am feeling anxious. It's because there's strangers. And I am naturally, I'm an introvert. And so it costs me money, costs me energy to connect. And that just, it felt like a lot that week. And so, but being able to check in, I'm feeling anxious. What is it there for? Oh, now I can deal with it. Instead of just being like, I'm anxious, I can't do it. Or I'm anxious, I won't do it.
I certainly think there's different levels of anxiety, right? I think there's anxiety all the way from like, I can't function on a day-to-day basis doing almost anything because my anxiety is so crippling. You know, that's one end of the spectrum. Me, I would put the other end of the spectrum, like I get nervous doing stuff, right? So you talk about going up on the stage to speak. Like I get nervous when I go on the stage to speak. But I look at it and I say, where does that come from for me? Like this is me. But it's like, I'm worried if people are going to like what I say. I'm worried that what I'm going to say is going to be of any interest to anybody or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And to me, those come from other types of fears that produce that anxiety in me. So even though it comes commonly to me, I would never say that it's kind of like sickness. Like I would never accept it as being normal or okay in my life, because I look at Jesus and I say, well, he's the guy that was in the boat with the seasoned sailors who thought they were going to die and he was sleeping. Like he didn't show an awful lot of worry in that situation. And to me, I think there's kind of a balance in my life anyways, between nervousness, anxiety, and faith in God. And I think when I lose my faith that everything is going to be okay, or if I lose my faith that God is going to be in charge of stuff and I need to be in charge of stuff, mm-hmm. that makes me worry and it makes me anxious. But to me, it's a sign that I'm not in a good place. So, but I can't speak for everybody, right? That's just my experience with it. So,
no, I think that's good. Cause I was trying to like, as I was listening, I was trying to figure out, okay, what makes me anxious? Like take it one step further.
Right.
And I think typically when I'm anxious, it is some form of insecurity.
Right.
It is some form of, and to me, insecurity is when my security is heavily on myself and not on God. That's just how I would define insecurity for me. And so I feel insecure. I feel the same thing. I have nothing good to say, or this isn't going to go well. That's when I get anxious. Other times I don't get anxious when I've actually prepared less for a sermon and I've spent more time with God. I've noticed less anxiety in my own life. And I think it's because my insecurity level, I'm not just not thinking about myself being fully responsible for this situation as much as I am over here. And it is interesting. Like, I can prepare longer and more, but I almost then find my security in myself. And that's where I can get actually more anxious. Interesting. I was just thinking about that. So for me, anxiety is tied to insecurity, security, and really, you know, for me, it's like every part of ministry is like a total leap of faith. It's like every meeting we have, every inner healing session we have, every time we speak, every time we lead anything, it's like, you know, it's risky. I don't know.
So let's come back to what, so let's come back to what we started with was, does the church have any answers for people who want to reduce the amount of anxiety that they feel in their life? Like, are people coming to our church and saying, "Boy, I used to really suffer with anxiety and it's so much better now that I'm here"?
I think I just had a meeting with somebody that said that exact phrase. We met last week, 2 weeks ago, from a conversation, a meeting, like set free from this fear that she had. And when I say set free, and again, as the church, I really think we're just facilitators of this because God does the work.
Sure.
So yeah, we open up the doors, we book the meetings, we give it to the Lord. And sometimes he does this work through us in the church. So I would say, I think in that sense we do, not to the extent though that it's happening in society. You know, that's one out of 400 people that came in and out. So I don't know how you do it. I know you can't do it in a big group unless there's literally a supernatural work of the Spirit. I think it does happen in life group. I think it happens in discipleship where those become life group, smaller groups of like 8 to 12 people. You're sharing life. I also just want to throw this and then I'll finish speaking. You guys can share. But like, when I share something I'm insecure or anxious about and someone else is the same, that in itself reduces my anxiety. Mm. Just knowing that someone else even is in the same stage of life, has a 14-year-old girl, they're dealing with teen issues like I am. Just that in itself reduces my, you know, so finding people that are going through what we're going through for me, and the church really should be, and I think we're doing that part.
I don't think it's, I don't think that what the church is going to offer is like an easy quick to any of the things that our society is suffering from. I think that a lot of times what we see, even when we look at our own lives and see the progress we've made in our own lives on these issues, it's like a longer term thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's allowing yourself to be, it's like, it's having a closer walk and relationship with the Holy Spirit and allowing Jesus to do the work in your life to bring you to a better place. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you go to church one day and they say one thing and you leave and you're like, "Oh, geez, my anxiety is so much better now." You know, it doesn't work that way. Let's just be honest, right? Like, it's a process.
Yeah.
And I think even when you have sessions with people, like, you might make a breakthrough in one area of
sure.
their life.
Right.
But they might have 2,700 areas that need like mm-hmm. attention.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a process. And sure. I think if you want to be committed to becoming the person that God created you to be and to get past some of the issues that you have in your life or get them to a point where they're not restricting you from walking the path that God has for you. Mm-hmm. I think you need to be committed mm-hmm. as a person to say, "I am going to take a deep dive at this." Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I don't see a tremendous amount of people who make that kind of commitment. And I'm always worried that it's not so much I just don't want to make the commitment. Mm. It's more that people don't know that that is the path that you could walk down, right? Like, we offer stuff that is more of maybe a one-on-one or a counseling or whatever it is. But if you're committed to the process, there are people at our church who will walk with you through that process to understand what's going on in your life and start to uncover some of the roots of some of those issues that you're having.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that the holistic discipleship process, it's a path and it affects our emotions, our mind, our will. It's our spirit, our words, our relationships. And if anything is controlling more than a wellness, a wholeness in life, if anxiety is controlling, if loneliness is controlling, maybe not even in like the controlling sense, but if these things are big in my life, and I don't want them anymore, then that's what the church offers. It's not like you can take a, here's, drink this and you'll be fine. You won't be anxious. You won't be, but as the church, we model it in our stories and saying, I was racked with anxiety and this is the process by which I am a functioning human being, not passing out all the time. Yeah. So like there's these layers of testimony and connection and community. So if we're answering the question, what does the church offer to the community, the world around us? It's very, it's the continued invitation to intentional connection with the people around us in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families, to see and really connect and care and see people. That's my thought. I don't know, more water.
That's good.
It's empty.
Do you have people in your life that when you do feel lonely or anxious that you would either go to or would come to you and kind of, you know, there's people that just, you know you and see it, right? Do you have people in your life like that? Do you have a value for that or do you just deal with it on your own?
No, man, I dealt with it on my own for years and years and years, and it was a horrible train wreck is what it was, right? Like, I don't have the answers to deal with my own issues. So I really didn't see any progress in my own life until I started connecting with people in a more structured way to go through the stuff that I was going through and really start to unpack it. And I have a few of those people in my life, right? And I think they're all incredibly important to me. And I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't not only have those people, but was really intentional about saying, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. Let's unpack this and figure out where this is coming from. Okay, on to the next one. Now this. And I feel like I've maybe unwrapped the first two layers of the onion in my own life. Like there's still a bunch of stuff that's going on in the inside of me, but I'm far better than I was before. And I think that's where you just have to accept it's a lifelong process. But the one thing I really understood was that there are answers and there is healing. And I can guarantee that for every person out there because God is the one that does it. He has answers and he has healing. And sometimes he wants us to understand what's going on in our life and to turn it over to him for healing. It's not we just say, oh God, I got problems. Can you deal with it? And pray a 2-second prayer and that's it. Sometimes I think he wants to walk with us in the process. But there are answers. Like I think... That I think frustrates me the most is that when I hear that people are kind of bound up in these issues and I'm like, oh, there really is a process for getting you help on that stuff if you're committed to it.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. I think for me, the process is important, but also having those people that you've gone really, really deep with that you really trust there, what they see and you know they have the best for you is also helpful. But I know that, you know, you've done some other work as well yourself and with people. And I think that's the going through a process. Do you think though that, that's another discussion. We don't have time for that. I was going to actually talk about addiction to counseling, but we won't go there.
That's a completely different subject.
Different subject.
Wrap it up.
I think though that, yeah, anything else, Jen, from you on people in your life and process?
I think I hoped that it would get easier to deal with things or bring things up. And to a certain extent, it does. But it also, to connect or reconnect or, you know, bring something up, or I'm just, you know, really struggling with this or whatever. Even though I have great people, super safe, fantastic, there's still this element of risk. For me, very much for me, Enneagram 8, like there's just this. My encouragement would be, regardless of if you've tried, stepped out, to be encouraged to step out again, to try again, to reconnect again, even though they're the safe people, they haven't changed. There's just, there's that little bit of risk that is still involved. And just to maybe normalize that it doesn't, it's not like this is easy. Confession isn't easy, or, you know, inviting people into that lonely place isn't easy. And that doesn't mean it's not right or you're doing it wrong, that, and God's with you in the midst of it. So
that's good. So what I hear Jen saying is that you overcome loneliness. One step you can take is spelled R-I-S-K.
Oh my gosh. You're not coming back, but I have a story for you. But I won't tell that story.
Okay.
Next I'll tell time, you guys that. After we cut.
Okay. After we cut, we're going to hear that story. And but thanks so much for joining us. And send us a note, comment. Love to hear from you. You can always get in touch with us. We'd also just want to throw this out there. We'd love to just get to know you, spend an hour together, have a coffee. You know, we also do inner healing. If you ever want to book that, pastoral counseling. We also have life groups, discipleship groups, all that stuff available. If you would like to, you know, step out, take a chance again. We know it's risky, but we know it'll be valuable as well for you in your process of growing and developing. So thank you so much.